Does Pink mention George Carlin anywhere in that song?
No, but George Carlin gets all of her royalties because George Carlin gets everything. It all goes
everything,
to him.
It all goes everything. To him.
Bill
right,
Gates. Wow. All of Bill Gates' fortune. George Carlin gets it all.
I wish we had Weird Al back.
Well, I think our next album, we should have George like do an intro on it and say, George Carlin presents.
Oh, and that would be the name of the album? And
yeah. George Carlin presents. Just that.
And we would win.
We would win.
We definitely would win.
Now, does he have enough doors to hold open with his Grammys? That's the real question.
Fellas.
I only have a couple of doors.
I thought it might be nice today for me to come to you with some of my language complaints. Certainly not to blame them on you, although, of course, you are implicated. And not that you can help it. I mean, the problem is really with the people you cover, the politicians, the celebrities, and the lawyers. And although their level of insincerity is astonishing, it's still kind of fun to hear them talk. In particular, it's fun to listen to Washington talk. Whenever the issue of term limits comes up, I always tell people the only term limits I'm interested in would be to limit some of the terms used by politicians. They speak, of course, with great caution, because they must take care not to actually say anything.
Thank you, fellow kids. Quiet. In addressing for the assembly this morning, thank you. I am recalling the words of the founder of Morse Science High School, Eukaipa Heap, who pressed the first bricks with his own hands. Knowledge for the people, he said. Give them a light, and they'll follow it anywhere. We think that is a fair and a wise guy for rule to be guided by.
What is reality?
And we're not afraid of it, are we?
Eat it!
You bet.
Eat it raw!
Raw, raw, raw. That's the spirits we have here. Okay, so come on, kids. Line up, sign up, and re-enlist today. Because we need more schooling for more students for more science high. Thank you.
Proof of this, according to their own words, is that they don't actually say things, they indicate them. As I indicated yesterday, and as the president indicated to me, but sometimes they don't indicate, they suggest. Let me suggest that as I indicated yesterday, I haven't determined that yet. See, they don't decide, they determine. If it's a really serious matter, they make a judgment. I haven't made a judgment on that yet. When the hearings are concluded, I will make a judgment, or I might make an assessment. I'm not sure. I haven't determined that yet. But when I do, I will advise you. They don't tell, they advise. I advised him that I had made a judgment. Thus far, he hasn't responded. They don't answer, they respond. He hasn't responded to my initiative. An initiative is an idea that isn't going anywhere. When he responds to my initiative, I will review his response, take a position, and make a recommendation. See, they don't read, they review, they don't have opinions, they take positions, and they don't give advice, they make recommendations. And so, at long last, after each has responded to the other's initiatives, and each has reviewed the other's responses, and everyone has taken a position, made a judgment, and offered a recommendation, now they have to do something. But that would be much too direct. So instead, they address the problem. We're addressing the problem, and we'll soon be proceeding. That's a big activity here in Washington. Proceeding. They're always proceeding or moving forward. A lot of that goes on. Senator, have you solved that problem? Well, we're moving forward on that.
Well, maybe my friend here would like to ask something. Huh? He's been with us since before the beginning, sir. He must be bursting with a short question about his place in the future.
Oh, is he your friend?
Yes.
Well, I'll ask him his name.
Oh, I'm sorry. Could you state your name? Please state your name.
Oh, do you want me
Please
to...
Please state your first name.
Clem.
Thank you.
Clem.
Now we can introduce you and some of your selected neighbors to our president.
Thanks.
Step off, stopping yellow line.
Okay.
Stand on steady blue lines.
Throbbing.
You are now going to see the president.
Oh, okay.
No flashes, please. Thank you.
Right here, not Springhead. Here I come.
Mr. President, I'd like to introduce you to...
Jim.
Hi, Mr. President.
Hello. Always nice to see you.
Jim.
You know, the mainspring of this country, wound up as tight as it is guaranteed for the life of the watch. And who's watching? People like you.
Jim.
And you.
Barney.
People who are alerted and unafraid to waste the little time that I've scheduled just for your question. State short question.
Well, Mr. President, it's the bees and spiders again. They stole my food stamps and sold them to the rats. And I tried to get down to my car for to honk the horn for help, but the snakes have gotten it for the cockroaches. I go back upstairs, but the spiders have jammed the police lock. I ain't been inside for a week, and I know that my wife is sleeping with the bees.
Could you state that as a question, please?
Well, sure, Mr. President. Where can I get a job?
Many busy executives ask me, what about the job displacement market program in the city of the future?
That's right.
Well, count on us to be there.
Jared.
Because if we're lucky tomorrow, we won't have to deal with questions like yours ever again.
Thank you for your question. Exit left to Funway. Mr. President, I'd like to introduce you to...
Barney!
Hello. Always glad to talk to you.
Barney!
Me,
you
sir?
Know, when you clock the human race with the stopwatch of history, it's a new record every time.
That's a cute story, Mr. President.
Who wins and who loses? People like you...
Barney!
And you.
Clem.
People who are altered.
Stop, Mr. President. Please stop. Now, I know it means nothing to you. I'm only a clone, but you've got such a wonderful job, and you're doing it so well. You know, we bozos have a saying. When you put on the nose,
could you state
it
that
grow-
as a question?
It grows.
Read to. Thank you very much. You'll be getting a handsome simulfax copy of your own words in the mail soon.
No.
And my reply.
By golly, Mr. President,
thank
you're
you for
beneficent.
Question. Exit right to Funway.
Yes, sir.
Mr. President, I'd like to introduce you to...
Clem.
Hello. Always nice to see you.
Clem.
You know, the springhead of this country...
All right, stop, Mr. President. Mr. President, stop, please. Now, listen to me. This is worker speaking. Hello.
Hello. How are you? State maintenance question.
Fine, thanks. No. Read me Dr. Memory.
Amrad is not sure I understand you fully. Could you state that as a question, please?
Read me Dr. Memory?
Systat, direct readout, uptime
9:01.
Man, ask him
one
a question.
44 seconds.
Amofax shuffle time?
Less than 1% of freight drain.
Log fired.
5 jobs, 2 detached.
Minimum entry, gate 1.
Totaling
so
balance national debt, 3, 4, 5, 6 boxcars.
Gate to close.
Okay, all right, that you're doing fine, but this is a flip-flop, Springhead.
Flip-flop?
Right. Now, I'm going to ask you a question that you won't be able to answer.
I'm not sure I understand you fully.
Log out run off memory.
A. The system is less energetic if domains of opposite direction alternate.
NBM read MacNam. PNP read MacNam
what
password.
Is he
maximum
about?
Output resource yield.
Illegal entry.
Try again.
Yes, we're going to try again. Open your gate, Doctor.
Sis. Bob.
That's right.
Dad. Bob. Mom.
Yes.
Dad. Dud.
It's repeating.
Did.
Got little squiddy eyes.
Mom.
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 Mem.
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 Mem. Mem.
Mem.
Mem. Mem.
Memory.
Direct readout. Dr. Memory.
Clem.
Thank you, thank you. Now, doctor, I'm speaking to you, doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Something the leprechauns asked me when I was a sprout in Indiana has always puzzled me. Doctor, question. Evaluate.
Mm-hmm.
Why does the porridge bird lay his egg in the air?
Laugh. Runaway makes no read. Read unhappy MacNam. Unhappy MacNam. Systat uptime 9.
I have been awake for 9 hours, 2 minutes, 36 seconds.
At answer to your...
I'm as tired of it as you are. And I hope that our children will come to love us again in some better world than this.
Oh, damn.
And when they're not moving forward, they're moving something else forward, such as the process. We have to move the process forward so we can implement the provisions of the initiative in order to meet these challenges. No one has problems anymore. Challenges. That's why we need people who can make the tough decisions. Tough decisions like how much soft money can I expect to collect in exchange for my core values? So that... So that I can continue my work in government. Of course, no politician would admit to such a lowly station as working in government, serving the nation. I'm serving the nation. Another favorite distortion is public service. I'm in public service. I like America, don't you? The food is great, but the public service is terrible. Now, folks, a question for you. Do you think it's possible that one of these politicians, whose judgment is so poor that he honestly thinks of himself as serving the nation, might occasionally be expected to indulge in a little patriotism? Huh? What do you think? Well, of course, not only is it possible, it's inevitable, and that's when he's at his very best. That's when he trots out the really good stuff all across this great land of ours, the greatest nation on earth, the greatest nation in the history of the world. And in times of military crisis, you can be sure that someone in a suit in this town will eventually plant himself in front of a camera and carry on a great deal about the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. Now, normally, during peacetime, the politicians will refer to people in the military as our young men and women stationed around the world. But in wartime, they quickly become our brave young fighting men and women stationed halfway around the world in places whose names they can't pronounce, wondering if they'll ever see their loved ones again. For added emotional impact, sons and daughters can always be substituted for men and women. And so I think we can sum this up by saying that where the military is concerned, the extent of a politician's insincerity can be measured by how far around the world our soldiers are stationed and whether or not any of them can pronounce it.
Oh, Afghanistan! Oh, Afghanistan! Oh, oh, Afghanistan, where bombs keep dropping from our planes, and the desert heat is really neat, but will soon cool off in winter rains. Hey!
Hey, guys, is that a mirage, or do I spy a kid with a sign up ahead?
Oh, I see him too, Sergeant.
And it looks like he's waving something.
You're right, Reverend. Hey, Ahmed, pull over. Let's check this boy out.
Let me get my camera. Could be a story here.
Right you are, Miss Olson.
Oh, I'm right? Am I Sergeant Blockbuster? I thought us reporters were part of the left-wing conspiracy.
Come on, children. Let's leave the pot shots for the Taliban stragglers, okay?
Pull up right here. Okay.
Maps to Bin Laden's caves. Get your maps here. Maps to the Al-Qaeda.
Isn't he cute? Look over here. Smile. Oh, God, it's...
Hey, kid, I'll take a map. How much?
10,000 Afghanistan dollars.
That's 25 cents American, Sarge.
Okay, Olson, throw him a handful from that bag of laundered cash we confiscated in Spin Bull Doctor.
Doctor, oh, yes, sure. Oh, it's still wet. Here you go.
I'll protect you, pretty lady. Oh, here is a map for you, too.
Oh, how sweet.
Hey, kid, isn't that a bottle of Coke I see sticking out of the sand there?
Yes, sir, it's mine. It's mine, sir.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm parched.
Oh, I could go for a slug.
A shot of sugar and caffeine.
Better than a wafer and wine, Reverend.
No, it's not for sale, you see. It's mine.
Come on, Abdul, everything's for sale.
But it's mine.
Oh, we'll give you more of this pretty wet Afghan money for it. Duck, you must be thirsty for cash out here.
I'll even give you this shiny new quarter with a choking president on it.
Now, just a minute, Sergeant Blockbuster, but isn't that your good luck piece?
Come on, Reverend Godhead. You don't believe in superstitious nonsense like that, do you?
Well, I don't believe in that kind of superstitious nonsense, no.
This here rifle is my lucky piece.
Ooh.
Here, kid, real American Monopoly money. Buy yourself a government position. Now, give me that!
Hey, please,
all right,
please,
all right!
No, no, no!
Let's roll, Let's roll Mohammed!
It is mine!
Well done, Sarge! Oh, hurry up, I'm really hot!
You said it, baby, not me!
Watch it, soldier!
I am watching it!
Listen, I think we better open that bottle now, troops.
Okay, Pastor. Oh, ow, shit! I guess twist-off caps haven't been invented here yet. Got a church key, Reverend?
Of course I do, my son, but be careful how you'll use it. Huh? Well,
I think he's afraid that our driver might think you're out to circumcise him.
Oh, the unkindest cut of all, huh? These folks sure have a lot to learn. Get ready for some pure Coca-Cola pleasure.
The pause that refreshes.
Things go better with Coca-Cola.
Things go better with...
Try to tell them it was mine.
It's that Kooky Coke Show, Saturday night at 8 on XBC. Be there!
Incidentally, another way of expressing this sentiment is to say we're sending our young men and women to places the average American can't find on a map. I've always thought it was kind of funny and somewhat out of character for a politician to go out of his way to point out the low level of American intelligence when, indeed, his very job depends upon it. It would seem to fly in the face of that other rhetorical standby of theirs. The American people are a lot smarter than they're given credit for. This is said with a straight face, although it is obvious, of course, that the proposition is being stated precisely backwards. But the politicians, God bless them, or something like that, they're at their most entertaining when they're in trouble. When they're in trouble, their explanations usually begin simply with words like miscommunication. What did you do wrong, Senator? Well, it was a miscommunication. Or I was quoted out of context. Better yet, and more ironic, they twisted my words. Such a nice touch. A person who routinely spends his days torturing the language complains, they twisted my words. Then, as the controversy continues to heat up, he moves to his next level of complaint. The whole thing has been blown out of proportion. It's always the whole thing. Apparently, no one has ever claimed that only a small portion of something was blown out of proportion. Has to be the whole thing. That's because now he's feeling the heat. And so, as time passes and more evidence comes in, he suddenly changes directions and tells us, we're trying to get to the bottom of this. Now he's on the side of law and order. It's jiu-jitsu, really. We're trying to get to the bottom of this so we can get the facts out to the American people. That's always a nice touch, American people. In fact, at this point, he might even say, I'm willing to trust in the fairness of the American people. Clearly, he's preparing us for something. And so, when finally all the facts come out and our subject seems quite guilty, he employs that sublime use of the passive voice, mistakes were made. Mistakes were made. Don't look at me. Probably someone in my office. Things are moving faster now. Mistakes were made is rapidly overtaken by there is no evidence. No one has proven anything. Eventually, I will be exonerated. I have faith in the American judicial system. And that certain sign that things are closing in, whatever happened to innocent until proven guilty? Whatever happened? Well, Well, he's about to find out. And we know this must be true because the next thing we hear from him is, I just want to put this thing behind me and get on with my life. I just want to put this behind me. That's an expression we hear a lot these days in all walks of life.
I'm high, all right. But not on false drugs. I'm high on the real thing. Powerful gasoline, a clean windshield, and a shoe shine. Over.
He's turning over! Get thee behind me!
Are you in danger, Pastor?
I'm
All right, Roger. Just a little argument with my co-pilot.
From people in all walks of life, usually the person in question has committed some unspeakable act. Yes, it's true, I strangled my wife, shot the triplets, set fire to the house, and sold my young son to an old man on the train. But now I just want to put this thing behind me. Get on with me. That's the problem in this country. Too many people getting on with their lives. I think what we really need more of is ritual suicide. You know? Never mind the press conferences. Get the big knife out of the drawer. Personally, what I want to do is to put this, I want to put this thing behind me and get on with my life. Thing behind me and get on with my life. I'll repeat that for you. Personally, I want to put this thing behind me and get on with my life. Thing behind me and get on with my life. And just to round out this section, let's hope there's a special place in hell reserved for those who have recently decided to take responsibility for their actions. That's the big thing now, taking responsibility for your actions, like it's a recent discovery, you know. He's taking responsibility for his actions. Well, isn't that wonderful? Ask him if he's willing to take responsibility for my actions, along with my alimony, my car payments, and my gambling debts.
This is the midst of the disillusionment and heartbreak season, and with a recent outbreak of that suicidal strain of despair up in Boston, well, you'd better keep a close watch on your emotions. So remember the seven danger signals of depression. That's a general and lasting feeling of hopelessness, inability to concentrate, loss of self-esteem, fear of rejection, misdirected anger, feelings of guilt, and extreme dependency on others. At the first sign of these symptoms, friends, follow these simple rules. Keep working, drink as much as possible, and take your television's advice. And you know, more TVs recommend an amazing new psychic breakthrough than any other. And that's confidence in the system. Fast, safe, and guaranteed by constant federal control, confidence in the system will keep them in power longer, 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 and tend to calm and obscure the miseries of disillusionment and despair. Confidence in the system. In easy-to-swallow propaganda form, a new fast-acting thought control. So have some today.
Something else we have in common, flying on the airlines and listening to the airlines' announcements and trying to pretend to ourselves that the language they're using is really English. Doesn't seem like it to me. Whole thing starts when you get to the gate. First announcement. We would like to begin the boarding process. Extra word, process, not necessary. Boarding is enough. We'd like to begin the boarding. Simple, tells the story. People add extra words when they want things to sound more important than they really are. Boarding process sounds important. It isn't. It's just a bunch of people getting on an airplane. People like to sound important. Weathermen on television talk about shower activity. Sounds more important than showers. I even heard one guy on CNN talk about a rain event. Swear to God, he said, Louisiana's expecting a rain event. I thought, holy shit, I hope I can get tickets to that. Emergency situation. News people like to say, police have responded to an emergency situation. No, they haven't. They've responded to an emergency. We know it's a situation. Everything is a situation. Anyway, as part of this boarding process, they say, we would like to pre-board. Well, what exactly is that anyway? What does it mean to pre-board? You get on before you get on? That's another complaint of mine. Too much use of this prefix pre. It's all over the language now. Pre this, pre that. Place the turkey in a preheated oven. It's ridiculous. There are only two states an oven can possibly exist in, heated or unheated. Preheated is a meaningless fucking term. It's like pre-recorded. This program was pre-recorded. Well, of course it was pre-recorded. When else are you going to record it? Afterwards? That's the whole purpose of recording, to do it beforehand. Otherwise, it doesn't really work, does it? Pre-existing, pre-planning, pre-screening. You know what I tell these people? Pre-suck my genital situation. And they seem to understand what I'm talking about.
Oral Genitals Radio Humility Crusade with the Oral Genital Bathtub Radio Choir.
Mighty hot dog is our Lord.
Yes, and sausage is his only byproduct.
I'm not on anybody's food chain. No one wants to eat my thigh. No one wants to eat my kidney. No one wants to eat my eye. No one wants to crush my rib cage. No one wants to eat my arm.
Anyway, as part of this pre-boarding, they say,
we would like to pre-board those passengers traveling with small children.
But what about those passengers traveling with large children? Suppose you have a 2-year-old with a pituitary disorder. You know, a 6-foot infant with an oversized head. Kind of kid you see in the National Enquirer all the time.
Good evening. The most remarkable medical achievement of modern times has entered its fourth successful day. Here with a report from Whittier Crater is ABC to Goldfish correspondent Felix Paparazzi. Felix?
At General Hershey General Hospital, America's first man-made baby, Adam 1-3, is developing far beyond the expectations of surrogate General Klein and his medical staff. Dr. General, sir, how is Adam 1-3 progressing?
We are quite frankly astonished at the rate of progression in the development of Adam 1-3 since initial DMZ implantation 3 or 4 days ago.
I realize that antiseptic security precautions must be maintained, but when will we be actually able to see him?
Well, surely not before his growth rate stabilizes.
How many inches is he now?
As of an hour ago, 73. He has a full head of hair. His features are normal in every respect, and pleasing, too, I might add. Our only concern now is with a certain pigmentation imbalance, which has manifested in his last few hours.
Is that serious, Dr. General?
Well, no, it's not serious. It's really a matter of personal taste.
Actually, with a kid like that, I think you're better off checking him right in with your luggage at the curb, don't you? Well, they like it under there. It's dark. They're used to that. About this time, someone is telling you to get on the plane. Get on the plane, get on the plane. I say, fuck you, I'm getting in the plane. In the plane. Let Evel Knievel get on the plane. I'll be in here with you folks in uniform. There seems to be less wind in here. They might tell you you're on a non-stop flight. Well, I don't think I care for that. No, I insist that my flight stop. Preferably at an airport. It's those sudden, unscheduled cornfield and housing development stops that seem to interrupt the flow of my day. Here's one they just made up. Near miss. When two planes almost collide, they call it a near miss. It's a near hit!
That's worry and concern and bad bowels caused by living on, like...
10-4.
Alvarado.
2150 by.
I wonder if I go out the street, someone's better gonna hand me a poison gun. I know it. I'll just walk out and someone will do that. I think I better stay in.
Stay inside.
Yeah, That's my advice to you. Stay inside.
I like to stay inside, basically, because if I go outside, somebody is going to hand me a bag with some germs in it.
Well, you know, you can get hit by a car crossing the street easier than you can fly in an airplane if you go outside.
No, last month I was in my room and I was looking out the window and
I saw a woman nearly get killed.
Nearly out in the street, right?
Out in the street.
Look out for that monkey! He's got a knife!
Right.
That's terrible. You see, they run by like that all the time out there.
That's
your husband, Charles?
Man out of his mind. Absolutely man out of his mind. You know what,
yeah, he's been outside? Is that what
he's been outside?
Been outside.
Nearly got killed. She just came within 5 feet of getting...
Just could have gotten hit. Yeah, it's true. You got to really be careful all the time. I mean, especially when you're walking, you know. You never walk, though, do you?
I went outside last week, and I hadn't walked, like, more than a block, and a guy came up to me, and he handed me an arm.
It's the air. It's the air that does it every time. Get out there, the fog is so thick you can't see your arm in front of your face.
Yeah, no, I couldn't.
You could. He handed it to
you. Soft thing and hit, you know, pushed against me. Want it? I didn't know what he was talking about. I was so scared. It was an arm.
It was an arm?
Yeah.
Well, listen, you know, salt of the earth. They'll give you the arm and a leg off their backs, you know. That's what they say.
Yeah, it's the air. So I stay inside, basically.
Sure. You got a view from your place, though, so you can see what's going on? Because it's nice to watch all those murders down there.
Yeah, well, I nearly saw a guy get killed.
Yeah, well, you can nearly see people get killed every single day. You know that?
Listen, just yesterday, there was a guy crossing from the
right down there.
Radio. Crossing the street, and he just nearly got hit.
The right turns are terrible. I've seen cars almost get hit down there 20 or 30 times a day. The tires screech, and you expect to hear a big crunch of metal, and you run out to the window to take a look.
Nothing.
But it almost happened. You know,
well, that's as
really
bad as
Peter.
Yes.
Peter, excuse me. Don't play with that pencil near your face. I could put out your eye.
Oh yeah. Right. Oh, that could
thank
really,
you.
Yes.
Thank
Gee
you,
whiz.
Charles. Thank
Gee.
You.
Right.
You get lead poisoning.
A collision is a near miss. Look, they nearly missed.
Language is what we deal with. That's the fabric of the Firesign Theater. That's what we weave with, or it's the thread.
The Firesign Theater is a treasure of cultural commentary in the most friendly terms.